back. It's 20 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is. This is money.
The Randy Rhodes Show, but the Morning Sedition crew is in the house for the afternoon because, as you know, Randy's out sick, but home from the hospital and feeling better, I'm sure, sitting there listening to us going, oh, my God, what have they let happen over there? Yeah. What is going on? I need another Percocet. I hope you're feeling better, Randy. If you're listening, if you're sleeping, then you're not listening, and we've got control of the place.
Yeah, we'll be back up before 7, I guarantee you.
Of course. I'm just amazed that I'm up. Usually at this hour of the day, I feel like I've been bonked in the head. It's the weird thing when you work the morning crew. I mean, maybe some of you guys listen to our show. We do a lot of comedy. We do a lot of breaking news. We do a lot of this and that. Wow, I just spilled water on the board. I'm not going to, you know.
Uh-oh.
Not on the board, just a little around it. It's going to be okay. There's no problem. I just need a paper towel here. Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah, so it's just unbelievable to be awake and functioning at this hour of the day. When you do a morning show, usually you walk around feeling like you have the flu all the time.
Yeah.
But now here we are. We're ready. We're going to take on some of the bigger issues of the day, today being the day. The bigger issues, next hour, we're going to get into John Necroponte, the death bridge, the new Minister of Intelligence Manufacturing for the neocon death cult. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about you know, what we do on our show, Riley. A lot of people don't understand. Riley's the fact guy, and I'm the sort of irreverent, reactionary, not so fact-oriented person. Would you say that's true, Riley?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We grab the facts, we read a lot, and we try and distill some information out of the facts that we're given. And, you know, we're not always, Mark, given the same set of facts all the time. Different, different media give different facts at different times. And we can get into that a little bit later in terms of the coverage of Alan Greenspan, for example.
It's like a party in here. It's unbelievable. What are there, 20 people over there in the booth? Like, I heard Barry Lank, one of the writers for the show, he's sort of like, you know, hey, we're going to get some beer. Look at this. We're locked in this, Tim. What are we doing? We're stuck in here. You guys are going to start drinking beer and jumping around, dancing naked in the other room. How is that fair?
Well, I don't know, but a listener just sent Randy 5 cases of Amber Box, so I thought we might bring him up in a little bit, too.
Oh, my God. So then I get to just sit there and watch as a bunch of Satans trying to get me to drink.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a drinker.
No, neither am I. Not when I'm on the air.
Yeah, but you'll have a few. I know you.
No, not Amber. It's not a problem with Amber Bach. I stopped drinking beer a long time ago. I used to drink a lot of beer. I used to enjoy it a lot. And then I just stopped.
You know why people stop drinking beer? Because they realize, wow, I can get a lot more done if I drink hard liquor. I know what you're saying, Riley. You're saying, who needs to fill up when you get drunk with just 2 glasses of this stuff?
No, I started liking hard liquor. I used to like single malt scotch when I smoked cigars.
Right.
Yeah, you know about the cigar thing.
I'm off them. Man, I'm off everything.
You stopped the cigars?
Yeah, I stopped. It wasn't a real thing with me. It was just because, you know, I'm an addict, and I like to do anything in excess, and eventually I get to that point where I'm like, wow, my cats can't breathe. Perhaps I should not do this. You know, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Not because I had a problem, right? Maybe I had a little problem, right? But I had a good time. I got no regrets, all right? I logged a lot of hours. I covered a lot of topics. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Do you? Okay. Look, the reason I quit doing drugs and drinking is pretty simple. Look, everyone's got demons, folks, and I know that to be true. I just realized a few years ago that I had all of them, and they were tired a little bit. You know what I mean? There used to be that one that would pop up and be like, woohoo, let's go get some booze, some women, some cocaine. And then a few years back, that guy just came out, and he's like, woohoo, how about some ice cream? And then a porno, that'd be good. And then some sleepy sleep. I'm tired. This all-night stuff has got to stop, man. We're too old.
Well, sooner or later, you get to that point. And my father always said to me, never start something you can't stop.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently, your father assumed that everyone has control over that kind of stuff.
Well, my father was an alcoholic, actually.
Oh.
But he eventually stopped.
He just stopped.
He stopped.
Good for him.
The doctor said stop, and stop he did.
Yeah, I stopped. Yeah, I stopped with, you know, a little help from here and there. But I feel pretty good about it. I got ice cream. I got other things.
Oh, you got ice cream?
Sure, I got ice cream. I got Ben and Jerry's to help me through the dark times.
Ben and Jerry's and a Honduran cigar?
No more cigars. Cigars, man. Ice cream and cigars, that's sad. You know, ice cream flavored. Cigar flavored ice cream, that'd be bad.
Well, yeah, that would be bad.
Ben and Jerry's starting to bum me out, though. I've covered this stuff before, but not on this show.
Yeah, we
talked to Ben Cohen.
Ben Cohen, yeah.
Yes. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. When I was younger, when I was, I was after college, I went on a pilgrimage. When Ben and Jerry's first came out, I was so excited about Ben and Jerry's ice cream that I drove to Vermont. I think it was Mount Pelier somewhere. Ben and Jerry's fact factory just so I could see how the stuff was made, just so I could be part of it. And it was so funny. It was such a, like, a hippie factory. You know, they'd, you know, you do that little film strip at the end of the tour where you'd sit in a little room that looked like a sort of like a hippie living room from the 70s, you know, and they'd show a film strip and it'd just be like Ben and Jerry be narrating it, and it was sort of really cute, like sort of like, what should we put in this flavor, Ben? I don't know. What do you want to try? But what my point is I only stick with the classic Ben and Jerry's flavors. You know, I respect the original Ben and Jerry's flavors, because after they sold out to some, I don't know who makes the ice cream now, but it's not them, because we've asked Ben about it, because I tried to get him to make a half gallon, and, you know, he said I got nothing to do with it anymore, and then we hung up on him. It was awkward. But, you know, they've since created a slightly larger size in a pint. I don't think it had anything to do with me. Anyways, the flavors are too complicated, Riley. After a certain point, you got to draw a line. You got to have boundaries, you know? I mean, when the flavor is like, you know, banana ice cream with fudge chunks, caramel, cheddar goldfish, pennies, a comb. You know, at what point do you say, look, that's too much stuff and ice cream?
Look, I like straight up flavors. I don't like mixed stuff. I don't like chunks in the middle. Right. My favorite ice cream is eggnog. I mean, and that only comes out like 2-3 times a year.
Eggnog ice cream. You got to wait, don't you?
Eggnog ice cream, man. It's like Thanksgiving and Easter, maybe around the Christmas holiday. And after the end of January, that's the end of the eggnog.